organization is here to answer any technical questions.
We'll get to him in a moment. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Mary Blackton?
Good morning. For the record, my name is Mary Botkin, and I'm here this morning representing the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees Union, Council 75. I'd like to thank the committee for giving us the opportunity to testify in favor of House Bill 2288. We represent many of the, well, most of the people who work in the 911 receiving and dispatch offices across the state, and we see this bill as a bill that makes sense. It is not our bill, but we're happy to support it. The workers, as you heard previously, the workers who work in this area are highly skilled, highly trained professionals who must daily call upon their training and their expertise to make life and death decisions. We think that a strike in this area is not responsible. We have generally supported, in many cases, giving up the right to strike for some of our employees who work in emergency areas or in areas where you must be on the job to guarantee the public safety. This bill would place 911 communications operators into the same classification as police, fire, and corrections officers. In all fairness, the resolution to labor disputes will be decided through binding arbitration, and we have found this to not be a panacea, but certainly a reasonable alternative to a strike. And we would like to encourage the committee to pass the bill out with a due pass recommendation. We would also like to respond before the question even arises as to the implications of a strike in this area. In the House, we heard some debate over the 10-day notification and couldn't people be trained to replace those striking workers. And what we would like to emphasize is that 911 communications and dispatch has moved beyond the point 10-day training periods. These people are highly trained. Most of the employees in the large areas carry some paramedical training so that they can make some kind of decision when that call comes in as to what kind of services are needed at the scene of an accident or in a house fire, or whatever the situation may call for. We'd like to encourage you to remember that these are the people who will make those decisions when major disasters hit as well. Again, these are highly trained, highly skilled individuals that must make life and death decisions. And we, again, would encourage you to pass this bill out with a due pass recommendation and get it to the governor's desk as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions? Senator Houck?
Mary, what's your definition of an emergency telephone worker?
Our understanding is, and I have read the statutes as well, we feel very confident that this only refers to those people who answer the incoming calls and dispatch the necessary emergency equipment. It does not refer to the support staff that would be associated with those facilities.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Huff.
What in the bill would preclude that?
I don't think anything in the bill is going to preclude it, but I think that under the definition here, along with the definitions in the personnel departments, and maybe the 911 man, the gentleman from 911, can clarify that even further. I know that under the personnel area of local government, that they also define what a 911 operator is, what an emergency communications person is when it comes to job descriptions and that sort of thing. I think that they will work hand in hand together very well.
I think the definition speaks to those persons who receive information, relay information, or dispatch equipment or personnel in response to the information. So we're talking about that real flow of the information and the people who have their hands on that process. By not including support personnel in the definition, those support personnel would be excluded.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think my concern here is the word include. You know, on line 8.
Oh, okay.
You see where you say that emergency, you could read it
in
the reverse of that and say the emergency telephone worker means a person whose official duties include these. In other words, there are others. A whole raft of others, one of which is supervised, one of which sweeps the floor out. But, you know.
I can't speak to the small, or Mr. Chair, Senator Hout, I can't speak right off the top of my head to the small, real small areas. I can tell you that the people who sweep the floors in Multnomah County do not answer the phones, and vice versa.
But a supervisor would. At times, or be able to, or have the capabilities of. I would hope so. What if one of them is sick?
I don't know. I've known some of the supervisors out there. I'm not sure I want to answer
your
phones. But yes, you're correct. They should have the ability to do that. I think that what you'll find, though, that this job is like a lot of other jobs. It requires daily sharpening. I mean, those skills are taught and then they're sharpened, and supervisors don't deal with those calls. And while they could pitch hit, it would not be as efficient as the people who do the jobs daily. And I don't think that most of the governmental bodies will use those people in that capacity.
Don't misunderstand me. I support the concept of the bill. I'm trying to narrow it to the problem. I'm narrow it to what the bill tries to accomplish, and I don't want to bring in a whole class of workers under binding arbitration.
I don't.
If we don't have to, I mean, it's only going to be invoked.
Yeah, they're not supervisors.
The
people who
represent know who we're covering, and on the management side, they know who's it covered.
Supervisors wouldn't be brought in under binding arb anyway. I mean, they just. They're not covered under those provisions.
They're not members of the bargaining.
Members of the bargaining.
Depending on the level. I mean, they may be in a, they also may be in a labor dispute, too.
Okay, anything else for Mary? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kevin Lindgren.
Let me distribute the message. I'll be able to have a short person.
I beg forgiveness for the gender reference in the first word of my testimony. I'll go with Chairperson Starkovich, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Lindgren. I'm representing the Association of Oregon Counties and League of Oregon Cities, and I rise in opposition to the bill. Let me get away from the testimony a touch. I'm going to skip right to the very last paragraph, because I think this addresses some of the concerns that Senator Howick is expressing with regard to whether it will affect, whether this bill will affect employees that are not 911 dispatchers. It will. The reason it will is rather, I don't think it's that complex. What happens is the Employment Relations Board has declared, and the current rulings are that if you have a person in a unit that cannot strike, the entire unit cannot strike. And so that you're going to end up with situations such as that which would occur in the city of Lake Oswego, where we have 911 dispatchers in a unit of general employees. Therefore, all general employees cannot strike and would be granted, if you will, binding interest arbitration to settle their interest resolution disputes. The bill goes considerably further than just talking about 911 dispatchers under the operation of law. Having started at the back, I'll now move to the front.
Senator Otto?
What you're saying is that you would, if the League of Ordinance Cities and the groups that you represent would like, on occasion, to see your employees strike. Is that correct?
Senator Otto, I think that can be stated in a somewhat different way. I don't think it can.
When you say that you're opposed to the bill, you're saying that, yes, we would like at times see our employees go out on strike.
Senator Stuckovich, Senator Otto, that's not the case at all. The case, as a matter of fact, is that we believe that interest arbitration is the second best dispute resolution mechanism, that when you put issues to a third party, that neither party can necessarily get what they're after. That striking the pure economic force, if you will, of one party to another party provides for the best resolution of interest disputes. It's the most pure.
You have your opinion and I have my opinion. Continue.
This bill is in response to no particular injury. We've had 12 years in which dispatchers have been employees that could go out on strike, and we've had no particular public safety issue that's resulted therein. We've had 4 years with 911 operators being able to strike, and we've had no particular injury. In addition, there are two mechanisms that if public safety was endangered, that we can move past the strike into binding interest arbitration. The first is through ORS 243706 sub 2, which allows the parties to enter into an agreement to go straight to binding interest arbitration.
You would need agreement on both.
You would need agreement on both parties. The second is to gain an injunction against that strike, which would move it to binding interest arbitration. So in essence, what we're hypotheses would to necessitate the bill is that although we've had no problems in the past, that we would have a problem in the future, that both parties would refuse to go to binding interest arbitration, and that no one would call for an injunction against that strike. I think that those sets of circumstances are highly unlikely. The bill asks that we prejudge all of the potential 911 strikes, put them all into one category, and I don't believe that's particularly necessary.
You believe there can be 911 strikes that do not endanger public safety?
I believe that that's a distinct possibility. The Act, both National Labor Relations Act and certainly Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act, allows for replacement of workers. Also, it certainly allows for supervisors to replace do the work of strikers.
You think there are circumstances that police and firefighters go on strike that public safety is not endangered?
If you're asking me for my personal opinion, I mean, unless I want to, I want to make this perfectly clear that I'm not particularly speaking for the League of Oregon Cities or the Association of Oregon Counties, but I believe there are circumstances in which police and fire could go on strike and it would not endanger public safety. But I want to emphasize that that's my own personal opinion, not the opinion of either organization that I represent here.
Is the position of that you're representing here on the bill that of the league today?
Yes, it is.
Okay. The league and the association.
It is.
Counties. I'd like to take a look at the point that Senator House raised and you raised in your testimony on just how big a net we throw out there. We exempt certain employees or prohibit certain employees from striking. I don't dispute the Irv ruling that where you say they determine that we're non-striking employees are in a unit that no employee in that unit.
I can see some reasoning
that
behind
would
that.
Make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd like to take a look at that issue a little more to see who in some of these probably mostly smaller communities who we pick up in that net.
Mr. Chairman, one other point. The Irv ruling, can you help us out on that? Number one, is that an isolated type of ruling, or is that a rule generally applied to labor relations?
Senator Starkovich, Senator Houck, that rule was made clear a number of years ago with a case with a state panel, I believe. And I believe that was either 4 or 5 years ago. It is a general rule. It occurs throughout.
Yeah, I can see the reason, or the logic behind the ruling.
Let me ask are there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry to keep you waiting so long. Final witness this morning, Ted Miller, sitting quietly in the back of the room. It's good to see you again. I think... Last session, local government elections, I think is the last time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ted Miller. I represent the Oregon Fire District Directors Association. I'm retired as a fire chief and a lifelong deliverer of emergency services in the Salem metropolitan area. We just want to be on record with the committee that we strongly favor this because the 911 systems as they are implemented and PSAPs, principal answering points, are established. It's a conglomerate of many units of government, and of the 257 fire districts in the state, even though we are suburban and rural, we will be a part of that service, and we would like to see that service or that communications guaranteed when there is a need, and we are requested to provide service.
Mr. Chairman, any questions, Senator Otter?
Ted Miller may sit quietly in the back of the room, but when he comes up to testify, his testimony has a lot of impact.
Any other questions?
Senator Otto, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Miller? Well, thank you very much. Thank you for waiting this morning. That concludes the public hearing on House Bill 2288. Anything else to come before the committee? We're scheduled to have a work session on Monday on the bills that we do not have a work session on this morning.
Are the counties... Oh, go ahead, Ben.